Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. What is going on, family? This is your boy, Jose Flores, with another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And listen, guys, you know that every single week when I'm on here, whether I'm doing it on my own, flying solo, or I'm bringing on an amazing guest, you know that the guests I bring on the show are always incredible individuals. And today is nothing less. We're going to be talking with today's guest, who is the co-founder of Billy Footwear, which is a company that's smashing the fashion industry with functionality and style and swag. I love it. They have a universal design that's inclusive of everyone. We're also going to be talking about how he fell from a three-story window, broke his neck, injured his spine, ended up in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic, and how he's turned it all around. I know you guys are already excited. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, my friend, my buddy, Billy Price, what is going on, man?
Wow. Thank you so much for that introduction. That was incredible. It's such an awesome opportunity to be here today. So thank you so much.
Man, it's my, listen, the pleasure is all mine. I love always connecting and meeting amazing individuals who are world shakers and doing some amazing things around the globe. And you're one of those guys, man. So I'm just glad that our good friend Travis was able to connect us. And I'm just looking forward to an amazing conversation with you today. And so let's just jump right in, man. You're the co-founder of Billy Footwear. But before we get into that, I want you to tell the audience, because, you know, when people see people like you and I and so many other people that, you know, we look like we're doing well, and maybe we are doing well, right? And we're making an impact, we're changing lives. But, you know, that just didn't happen overnight, right? There was a story behind every success. And so I just want you to share a little bit about your story, where you came from, you know, what your mindset was when you were younger, some of the things you were involved with, and then what happened? What was that shifting moment in your life that changed everything for you?
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a big topic. We could talk for hours and hours and hours on that one.
Just give us the good parts.
Okay. So I'm Billy Price. I'm one of two co-founders of the company Billy Footwear. We're a shoe company based out of Seattle, Washington. We started a business a number of years ago. We really started this business in 2015, where we rebranded as Billy Footwear. Just made some great relationships with various stores along the way, like Nordstrom and Zappos. And that really got us in front of a lot of audiences to really grow the brand. But you know, the design of our shoes, we have a zipper that goes in the shoe, goes on the outside around the toe. It folds over, you drop your foot unobstructed. And really the inspiration behind that came from my own story, which was I'm a wheelchair user. That wasn't always the case. Unfortunately, when I was a teenager, a freshman in college, I fell out a three-story window. And when that happened, it was a head-first fall of concrete, broke my neck, broke my back. And my world just got flipped upside down. I was a fiercely independent kid growing up, but all of a sudden I went from fiercely independent to crazy, depressed, dependent. You know, rehab was about 5.5 months. And during that time, you have to go all the way back to square one. Like, how do you brush your teeth? How do you write your name? What wheelchairs and replace your legs? So that journey really took me to a dark place. But there was a moment where the switch got flipped, and I was able to let go really of what I lost and focus more on what I still had. And with that, it turned into like just this grind to do everything I could to move forward. So one day at a time, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to do is I want to just go back to that dark place where the switch occurred. Cause I know a lot of times people like you and I would get so used to telling our stories that sometimes it's easy for us to kind of skip that part. But I think it's important for the listeners to know, like, we all go through dark places in our lives. But it's when the actual switch occurs that our life changes. So just kind of just talk a little bit about that dark moment, and what was it that caused you to flip the switch to say, okay, something has to change?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it was really early on in my injury. I mean, I broke my neck on October 9th, 1996. And I would say that switch got flipped maybe 2 to 3 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
So it happened pretty quickly. But what it was, I mean, I remember just laying on a hospital table, just like looking up at this light that's staring down at me. And then there's people all around me, and I'm just unable to move. And I asked the question, like, what's this, the day of the injury? I'm like, what's going on? Like, why am I here? That's when they just bluntly said, you know, you broke your neck, you broke your back, you have a spinal cord injury. And then the next part of that sentence is you're paralyzed and you'll never walk again. So you receive that kind of information, at least for me, I didn't have the tools to process that. I mean, all I could think about was the stuff I used to be able to do. And now knowing that I didn't have that, I just really felt robbed. And I didn't know what the future was going to look like. And it just, because of that, I just became depressed. I mean, I was telling myself that it's not worth living if you can't walk. I mean, that's where my mind was at. Like, why me? I kept asking that question over and over and over. Why me? Why would this happen to me? I'm a good kid. And I just spiraled. It's like that toxic mindset. But what it was really a situation where my mom came in, and as moms do, they kind of sugarcoat things. And she said, you know, it's going to be okay. And she told me that in a moment where I just wasn't having it. I mean, I was just, and I snapped back. I said, you know what, mom, it's not worth living if you can't walk. Meaning that I guess I'd rather be dead than be in a chair. And the look on her face when I said that, because she was just trying to grab at any sort of, you know, thread of hope of what this injury could be or would be or what my life was going to be.
Right, right.
And when I snapped back with those words, I just destroyed her. I just crushed her. I just saw like the look on her face. Seeing that, it really became apparent that one, how dark of a place I was at, but two, just the desperate need for a change. Mm-hmm. And they're really just, I mean, with doctors and nurses and friends and family like supporting around me, they basically just created this encouragement for me to, you know, try to do something, like try to get better. But at the same time, they're not going to fix you. I mean, it requires action on our part.
Yeah.
So when they're with that support and then me seeing that I just really crushed my mom, that's when the switch got flipped. And I was able to let go with what I lost and really focus on what I still had. One, still being alive, having a brain, and trying to make a go of it. So that's what I started building the foundation on.
That's awesome, man. And that's the part that I wanted to pull out, because I think that that's so transparent and authentic and so relatable to people that, you know, when you get to that place, and then for you, it was that look on your mom's face that said, whoa, I don't want my mom to, you know, I don't want to see that look on my mom's face ever again. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want her to have to suffer. So I'm going to, you know, do what I need to do to get to a better place. And you did. And I think that that's what a lot of people struggle with, is figuring out how to get to that better place. And you were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to remember that it doesn't happen immediately. Flip the switch. You can make the choice to change. But it's not like you snap the fingers and all is well. It's a grind. Like I would say, like after you flip the switch, that's when the grind starts. That's where the perseverance, like just the, you know, the tenacity to move forward and like just accept that things are gonna be hard. But your life now has a direction. You know, there may be three steps forward, two steps back, but you're still moving forward.
That's right. That's right. I love it. And that's the type of mindset that I love about people when they develop that mindset, because it's always like, no matter what, right? And we learn how to do this. Like when we're going through it, like you said, when your mom was trying to just be that little inkling of hope in your life and you just weren't trying to have it, you weren't trying to hear it. It's not what you wanted to hear at the time. But, you know, once we can develop that mindset that, because I'm pretty sure now after a while, when you experience a traumatic event like that, because I'm in a wheelchair too. I'm a wheelchair user. My event wasn't like that. I was born with a condition that has me like this, but it still deals with that mindset. Like, okay, well, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to let this situation conquer you and defeat you and hold you back from living your life to the full? Or are you going to strap your footwear, right? You strap your boots and get out there and start figuring some things out and start living your life to the fullest. And you were able to do that, man. So I appreciate you for overcoming that mindset and just turning it into who you are today. So now that we you know, you've shared a little bit of your story with our audience, you know, what was the defining point for you that said, well, you know what, now I want to even level up and go to the next level. And I want to create this company, this amazing company that's not only going to benefit me, but benefit everyone else out there.
Yeah. Awesome question. So after I got discharged from the hospital, I went back to school and I graduated in mechanical engineering. And then I went and got a job with the Federal Aviation Administration, and I worked there for 16 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, but on the back 3 years of that chapter, I guess, in my life, I started a company, I mean, with a good friend, and it was just kind of a side hustle. We didn't really know where it was going to go, but it started getting more and more attention. And then it became a thing that we just had to do full time. So that opportunity, I figured out how to do a lot of things, but shoes was just that last thing, the last piece of the puzzle that I didn't have an answer to. And I just had this thought that, you know, having limited hands dexterity, but also like the challenge of me like shoving my foot into a shoe. I just had this thought that if you put a zipper in a shoe where you can open the whole top of the shoe open and drop your foot in unobstructed, that might work. But I had no idea how to make a shoe. I had no idea where to even start to like have that type of brainstorm. You have a great idea, but it's like, if you don't have the tools to be able to pursue it, you know, it's kind of, it just never gets going.
Yeah.
So a good friend of mine, Mr. Darren Donaldson, we grew up about a quarter mile from each other. And we rode the bus, played baseball, you know, grade school, elementary school, even in high school and college. Anyway, he invited me over to his house one night because we hadn't seen each other in quite a while. And as we were catching up, he was telling me about this shoe project that he was working on, just complete crazy coincidence. And what he did was he took it upon himself to challenge himself to do something of which he had never done before, knew nothing about. He liked shoes, but went and took some classes and got acquainted with the right people to be able to help him have his own project. And as he was telling me about this, I got really excited. And that's when I shared my idea, which was just a zipper in a shoe, which isn't original, but having the wrap around that is original. And my comment to him was like, look, Darren, I mean, since being in a chair, I've never put my shoes on before. So he had the ability to like not only make the drawing, but the contacts in place to be able to make a prototype. And he did. And then when he presented it to me and I put those shoes on, I was 36. So I broke my neck at 18. I got these new prototype shoes at 36. And they looked exactly the way I like thought about it. It looked exactly the way his drawing worked. And I put them on. So literally half a lifetime later, I was taking back this independence. And really the moment was so special. We knew we had to do something with it. We didn't exactly know what, but we knew we had to share it. The shoe industry is incredibly competitive. So if we wanted to share this thing, to really like make this thing grow, we knew we had to cast our net as big as possible. And that's where the whole like fashion function smashed together, universal design, because we knew we had to be on the shelves of major retailers. We had to be on the shelves of Zappos, had to be on the shelves of Nordstrom to really garner like one, the success to grow a business, to be able to add value, to be able to bring this product to market. But two, you know, just generate that sense of normalcy, like destroy the silos. Don't just make something that's quote adaptive, make something that really changes the industry altogether. Make something that it's a widget that someone that is a wheelchair user or a non-wheelchair user, they can both embrace it and, you know, have success. So that was our crazy idea. And it turned out that it worked.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Because I got to tell you, you know, I was looking, you know, I get magazines for the, you know, wheelchair user community. I saw your company like several months ago. It was like the first time I actually came across the shoe. And I was like, oh, wow, these shoes look pretty dope. Like, that's my issue, too. Like, I wear sneakers, you know, and I'm still obviously able to wear any type of sneaker. And I have family and I have children that help me put them on. But when I saw the concept, and that was one of the things that always kind of kept me away from what they call adaptive wear. And I kind of stood away from it because it wasn't like stylish. It had no like fashion to it. It was just like a plain old, you know what I'm talking about, right?
And so I know exactly what you're talking about.
And when I saw yours, I was like, man, these kind of look pretty dope. You know, you had the low tops, you had the mid tier, like right by the ankle. And I was like, oh, wow. So when I actually got connected with you, I actually didn't know who you were by name. But then when I looked into you, I was like, oh, snap, I'm going to be interviewing this guy who did the shoes in the magazine that I just saw the other day. So I was super excited, man, to get you on the show with us. And I just saw it in Magic Mobility magazine, just their recent issue that came out. I saw it was like one of the top 10 companies for functionality. And you were in that list. So I was like, oh, wow, that's dope. So that's how does that make you feel? Like you're in magazines now, you're in Zappos, you're in all these places, and you're just a, you know, you were just a young regular boy doing regular things, and now you're like this like global company that's making, you know, waves all over the place. How's that feel?
Well, I use the word surreal a lot because it really is. I mean, this was just a small little idea to overcome my own challenge, and it just, I mean, we were on the front end of a big bow wave, right? I mean, inclusion is so important always, but it seems to be getting a lot more attention now. To be able to have a product out there that just screams and defines inclusion, it's just really exciting. The crazy thing about it though is like, yes, it's like, so I'm the face of the brand, but our team keeps growing. I mean, we have a team of 20 at the moment, but we have relationships around the planet. So there's just so much more to do and so much more value to add, but it's just, I don't know, I have to kind of pinch myself every once in a while just because it just blows my mind how big this thing has become. And it can be so much more, so much bigger.
And it's moving so quickly too, I can imagine. That's why it's like, you're trying to catch up to the movement and it's just, it's crazy. But listen, you know, one of the things I love about you and your company, Billy, is that when I was looking, so just for you guys that are listening to this or watching this, and I'm going to drop the link to the company in the show notes, and you guys will be able to check it out, because this isn't for just wheelchair users or people with physical disabilities. Like this, anybody can rock this. And you'll see when you go to the website how dope this guy puts the stuff together. But if you can imagine those type of sneakers that have the zipper on the sides, on the side of the boot or the sneaker, for you to be able to slide your foot in, this has a zipper that goes around the whole entire top part of your sneaker, and it flips open almost like a laptop opener. Like it just flips open, you put your foot in, you close it, and you zip it like a suitcase, almost a suitcase for your foot. And so when you check this out, it's and then the dope thing about it is the colors, the styles of them, so inclusive, so dope. It's like something I would rock. And I'm from the Bronx, New York, so I like to say that, you know, New York is a very like the fashion capital of the world, very trend setting. And when I saw them, I was like, I would definitely rock those to put it into words. But let me ask you this, Billy, you know, because you're like a perfect example of having an idea and working the process until that idea becomes manifested and it comes to fruition. Tell the audience a little bit about that process and what the mindset was going through that. If you had like any roadblocks or any fumbles where you thought it might have not worked or anything like that. Like, how was the process? How was the mindset for you to keep on going all the way? Because I'm assuming that the process wasn't an easy one, even though you had the connections and some of the resources, but the process still had to, you know, it's a process, right? Anything that's worth creating and making is going to take a process. So explain a little bit about that process and what the mindset was with that.
Well, it's been a roller coaster. I mean, it really has. It's been ups and downs, and you know, we've had some epic fails, and it's incredible how those epic fails, every single time, it ends up being an opportunity for something better, to the point where it's like, if we hadn't failed, we wouldn't be where we are. I mean, just, you don't want to celebrate failure, maybe we have to, but failure is a real jagged pill to swallow. But as I say, it's been really incredible how these failures have really opened up the door for something bigger. You know, yeah, it was a grind. I mean, starting a business is a grind. It really is. And as a business owner, you need to be the most passionate one about the business that you're doing. I mean, because if you don't have the enthusiasm or whatever, no one else is going to like buy in and bring this thing to whatever it is to market. So it was a lot of time commitment. I mean, to just kind of juggle, because I mean, early on when it was a side hustle, we're working our entire day jobs, like the 9 to 5. And then we work on shoes from 5 till midnight and on the weekends, and not really knowing what it would become or if it could become anything. And then plus, like, you can't really pay yourself through that work because you need to have all the money go back in the business to be able to make the business survive. And then plus, you need to have a nice big audience. For us being shoes, you got to be somewhat crazy to enter the shoe market. It's incredibly competitive. You know, for us to be able to succeed as a business, we couldn't just do a niche, like as in like, if you're a wheelchair user, you're a C5-6 quadriplegic, just like me, this is the shoe for you. It's like, well, that's a true statement, but we can't just like segment just that audience. Yeah. You need to have a huge sampling to be able to make the business actually survive. And then there's just always going to be more work than you can do as an individual. But then you need to kind of balance that between when can you bring on someone to hire can the business financially support that? Or do you give away equity in the business, knowing that the business is small now, but later on down the road, you know, it just equity, as soon as the equity is gone, I mean, that's collateral in business. You don't have anything more.
Yeah.
But then having like the integrity, like just really be able to follow through and just don't quit, and then make these relationships that end up being like the door openers for better conversations. It's not like you make these relationships, it's not like they're the ones that are going to do it for you, but they're going to be the ones that can open up the door and you can actually have a conversation with the right person to manufacture the shoes, to display the shoes in a store, to be able to distribute the shoes, be able to market the shoes. And then plus the direct relationships with the end user, the customer, listening to the customer going like, okay, you got these shoes, they have an idea, like an improvement. Maybe like, for example, when we first launched, we didn't have laces, and the customer reached out and said, you know what, if we had laces in the shoes, we'd be able to adjust the shoes to be able to get the fit right. Like, okay, perfect. Let's do it. Or it's a matter of having inserts within the shoes removable. Like, we'd love to be able to take these out so we can put our own custom insert, or someone that's wearing braces, take that out and then put a brace in it. And you're like, sure, we can do that. So like having that just ongoing relationship. So, I mean, I broke my neck in 1996. I mean, it's over 25 years later, and every day, you know, it's just like slowly, slowly, slowly moving forward. And the same goes to the business. But I mean, you can't do it on your own. You just need to get teamed with the right people to get it done.
That's right. That's right. I love it. Now, you mentioned that, you know, it's about not quitting. Was there ever a time where things got rough and you felt like quitting? And like, what was the defining factor that kept you pushing forward?
There was a big moment when right after our first manufacturing run, and we had a Kickstarter campaign that was going. We were touting the brand, showing it off, and selling shoes before we actually had them in hand. And when we did get them in hand, there was 4,200 pairs of shoes, which seems like a lot. It wasn't, I mean, now looking at it, it's not that many as compared to what we're doing now. But at the time, that was a huge lift. I mean, 4,200 pairs of shoes, I mean, that's a lot of boxes. That's a lot of shoes. Mm-hmm. And when we opened up those cartons from the factory, what we found was 80% of them were bad. They're just unsellable. I mean, they looked bad. I mean, like functionally, I guess they worked, but it wasn't a true representation of the brand. I mean, it would be something like you send that out there, the brand would have died before you even had the chance to live. When that happened, I mean, it was a huge psychological blow. It was a huge financial blow. And the question was, what do we do? And it's like, okay, well, we could very easily quit and just do one of those, like, you know what? That was a fun ride. It was fun to give this thing a shot. And we've never done this before. And, you know, that would have been okay to do. It's like, wow, we gave it a go and it didn't work. So, okay, no problem there. No harm, no foul. Or we could have doubled down and leaned into it and realized that those factories that were making the shoes were not the right fit. The agent we were working with was not the right fit. And just kind of pick up the pieces and, you know, move forward. So it was that tragic, epic, financial, devastating blow that ended up getting us in the room with a sourcing partner here in the Seattle area that did know how to make shoes, and they did have the right connections to factories. Mm. And we went in, had a conversation with them, kind of just told the vision, the mission, showed the shoe that was bad, but also expressing like what it could be. And they could have said no, but instead they said yes. And from that yes, that's what got us on the shelves of Nordstrom in August of 2017 for back to school and an in-store at Zappos. And that's when everything really started taking off. So it was that failure. This is so crazy. That failure opened up the chance for us really to build this brand.
That's amazing, man. I'm a firm believer that I think that destiny meets you when you feel like giving up, but you're willing to push through. I think that's where destiny meets you. Right at your need. And that sounds like exactly what happened to you guys, where you got that that big blow, and you were able to, your destiny met you right where you were and helped you propel and catapult to that next level. That's amazing. See, these are the type of stories I like bringing on the show, these type of stories that I think that people like listening to, because we always see the shoes in the stores and the magazines. We see the models wearing them. We see you, you know, doing amazing things on your YouTube channel and all this, but we don't hear all of this backstory stuff about, you know, we almost quit. We had to make a decision like, hey, we gave it a good run, or, you know, let's just keep working our jobs. At least we still have that. and let's just keep living our lives. But you guys said no, you had the vision. This is one of my mentors is always saying, the vision works as long as you work the vision. And you guys have continued to work the vision. So I commend you. I applaud you and your partner, Darren, for keeping the vision going, not quitting, not giving up. And right, the name of this podcast is called I Won't Stop Until I Win. So you obviously kept going and you won and you keep winning and you keep winning. So congratulations to the both of you, man. What would you, you know, I always like to have my guests share, and I think you've shared a lot already, but for that one person who's watching or listening to this show right now, and they're listening to you, Billy, and they're like, man, this guy's in a wheelchair and, you know, he broke his neck and all of these things happened to him, but he freaking created this amazing company. Like, I wish I could do something like that, but they feel defeated. Maybe they tried, maybe they got knocked down, maybe it's not working. Anyway, at the end of the day, they may be on the verge of where you were, of giving up, and they have a decision to make. What piece of advice would you give that person listening or watching right now that would help them continue running the race?
Oh boy. Well, I would say that what I found is what helps me is helping others. It's amazing how much strength one can draw when they're helping someone else. So really our business, I mean, our vision, our mission statement is more, it's all about adding value. It's like, yes, we want to be a brand of success, but we want to be more than that. We want to be a brand of significance. And we do that by trying to add value wherever we can and make a measurable difference in the world, 1 foot at a time. So that's really what we hang our hat on. What we found is when you help the one, that one person is going to try to help one person or two people or whatever. And then over time, it just keeps compounding and compounding and compounding. And then you really have a lot of momentum and you've created a bit of a movement. So it's all, you know, when you start going that way, you turn into a big family, a big community. And we work as a community, we can just do so much more. So life is not easy. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, you could be a quadrillionaire and life's not easy, or you could be the poorest person ever. And I mean, it's money doesn't make anything easier. I mean, whatever it may be, or whatever walks of life you're coming from. Life is challenging. I mean, it really is. But we just don't, I think we all have a reason. We're all here for a reason. We all have purpose. We all can contribute. Every single person can contribute. Really, when we're working together and trying to, you know, put the needs of others in front of your own, the whole pay it forward kind of deal, I think things do get easier. It doesn't make it, you know, simple, but it makes it easier, and it allows us to keep grinding and keep being gritty, keep going out there to make a difference.
And he said gritty, not greedy, guys. Okay. All make right. Sure you get that. He said gritty. But I think that basically, you know, what I took from it is like each one reach one, right? And then you never know how that next person you reached, how many they're going to reach. And if we can continue repeating that cycle, then we're going to be doing a lot more good in this world. And also, you said that, you know, whether you're a gazillionaire and you have all the money in the world, and life is hard, or you can be in poverty and life is hard. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to choose your hard, right? It's going to be hard either way. You got to choose and make a decision that you're going to push through, even though it's hard, and get to the other side, or get to the top of that mountain that you're trying to climb and get there no matter what. You know, Billy, I want to thank you for, you know, coming on the show, sharing with our audience. That's an amazing story. I mean, I read a little bit on your website. I don't like digging too deep into people, because I like to hear it like raw and authentic, just like you shared it. So I'm blown away. You've motivated and inspired me to keep on, you know, doing my thing. And I think I'm like one of them dudes that I'm a savage. Like, I attack life like never before. But you know, we always meet somebody that inspires us. And you've inspired me, man. So I appreciate that. And I thank you. And I'm pretty sure my audience is inspired as well. So thank you for coming on the show. Do you have any last words you'd want to leave with anybody? Where can people go and get the shoe? Obviously, we were talking about the company. Where can people go and check out the company? Check out your social media. Go ahead and give that to everybody.
Yeah, well, thank you. So our website is billyfootwear.com. And we're in a lot of retail partners or retail stores, both at domestic and international. But if you go to billyfootwear.com, you can buy directly from that site, but there's also a drop down where it says store locations. And if you go to store locations, you can see all the different areas that you can find the brand. So that's the best place to start, billyfootwear.com. On social, We keep it easy. It's just at Billy Footwear. And there is one thing I did want to close with here, at least on my end, is you mentioned earlier talking about how like stepping into the shoe and how it opens up, how you were saying it opens up like a laptop, or you're zipping it on, you're kind of stepping into that suitcase or whatever. But one of the branding elements is it's like a book. It really is. When you unzip it and you fold that thing over, you are opening it up like a book. And when you're stepping in, you're really stepping into your story. And, you know, previous chapters can be really rough, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the story. And you can't necessarily go back and change the way your story starts, but you certainly have influence how your story is going to end. We really try to communicate that. Like when you're stepping into that shoe, you know, zip up, you know, be off to your adventure and try to make a difference.
And let the story continue. I love that, man. That's powerful. That's very, very powerful. So there you have it, folks. You heard it straight from Billy's mouth. Go ahead and check him out, billyfootwear.com. Check him out on all his social, any social media platform that you enjoy visiting at Billy Footwear. And go ahead and support him, man. He's doing amazing things, and you can follow him and see all the amazing things he's doing, all the cool people he's impacting. And follow the journey, man. I love following these types of journeys. So I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us again for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And until the next time, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.